दहलीज पे मेरे दिल की जो रखे है तूने कदम, तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम। हंसी का मैंने जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, हंसी का मैंने जीना मेरे हमदम। ना सीखा कभी जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना हमदम। मेरे दिल की जो रखे है तूने कदम, तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम। हंसी का मैंने जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, हंसी का मैंने जीना मेरे हमदम। ना सीखा कभी जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना हमदम। सच्ची सी है ये तारीफें दिल से जो मैंने करी है, सच्ची सी है ये तारीफें दिल से जो मैंने करी है, जो तू मिला तो सजी है दुनिया मेरी हमदम। आसमां मिला जमीन को मेरी आधे आधे पूरे हैं, तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम। हंसी का मैंने जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, हंसी का मैंने जीना मेरे हमदम। ना सीखा कभी जीना, जीना कैसे जीना, ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना हमदम।
Good evening. So, a very warm welcome to our brothers and sisters here, and a very warm welcome to our dear respected Dr. Sachin Bhai. Can we show, wave a hand to welcome him? Welcome. Dr. Sachin has become a household name among the Brahma Kumaris. Who has not met Dr. Sachin before? No one. Oh, except one or two. Okay, your first time to Madhuban? Yes. Well, Dr. Sachin is a very special, a very unique soul. Why I said that is, he is excellent in not only his academic career, he was a gold medalist. I think not many of us know. He excelled in his studies and was a gold medalist in his medical degree. And he also, I think, would reach the goal, Bab Saman, at the pace he is going. He is one of those last go fast and come. first. See, everybody agreed, Dr. Sachin, last go fast and come first. But the beginning of his spiritual life was not easy, as I've heard. At a very young age, he developed this interest in the materialistic world, and for several periods of his life that he totally abstained from speaking, went into deep, total silence. And I think that might have developed his, increased his spirituality to such an extent that he had total disinterest in everything, and he wanted to become a sannyasi. Yeah, literally he wanted to become a sannyasi, if not had been his sister, Lockett's sister, who is also a BK, and asked him, before you go into sannyashood, please, please, for once, come to the Brahma Kumaris. And luckily, he agreed to what his sister said and came. Otherwise, we would not have such a brilliant brother giving us fantastic, very beautiful classes. And so, when he came to Brahma Kumaris without knowing anything, was total loss, in total loss of the world, total loss of everything. He came and in November 2003, in Diamond Hall Shantivan, he had such an amazing experience of a first encounter, personal encounter, extraordinary experience with whom, you guess? With Baba, with God Himself. And so he was born that day and surrendered himself totally. And he is now the consultant physician heading the Department of Medicine. And he has done, I just went through his bio data, 9 pages. He's done so much work, I couldn't repeat and remember all of them. But even in the medical field, he's done so much work in the global hospital, in terms of research, in terms of field work to the rural people, in terms of caring for those who are critically ill, for those who are in critically needing a dialysis, so many. But so he is extraordinary, he's unique, he's special. So thank you for coming. It was not easy to get him. So rural communications. So thank you, Om Shanti. And so let's enjoy his brilliant class. Thank you.
Om Shanti. That was an extraordinary introduction. One of the greatest authors of the world, Leo Tolstoy, has written a very brilliant story. This is the story of a fall of an angel. There was once an angel, and that angel was sent to earth to take the soul of one woman. The woman was about to die, and that angel came to take her soul away. But when that angel approaches that woman, he finds that the woman had just died, and she left 3 daughters there, and those, one of them was hugging the dead body, the 2 babies were crying, and it was very, very grievous, very, very sorrowful event. So that angel had come there to take the soul of that woman. But after seeing this event, he decides to change his mind, and he goes, without taking the soul of that woman, goes back to God and tells God. It was a very pitiable event, so I didn't bring her soul, because I saw, because of her death, the 3 daughters got orphaned, and how miserable they are. Where those daughters will go? Who will take care of them? What will happen to them? So thinking all this, I have come back. The God of death scolds that angel and says, who are you to interfere in my plan? You shouldn't have done this. Do you think that I am doing something which is wrong? So you must get punishment. So now you will go back on earth as a human being, not as an angel. You will go back on earth as a human being and you will have to suffer. So that angel accepts this punishment. But that God of death also says, once you laugh at yourself 3 times, then you will come back. 3 times you will be laughing. Then you will be able to come back to your original angelic stage. So that angel is thrown on the earth as a normal human being, tattered clothes. The story was written in Russia, so there was a lot of cold and he was shivering in the cold and sitting there at one corner. After some time, a cobbler happens to pass by that way. And the cobbler takes pity on this man, who is in fact an angel now, angel, but now an ordinary human being. So that angel, that man feels pity on this fallen angel. And he says, okay, I will give you some clothes. Have you taken some food? I will give you some food also. And he says, the fallen angel says, I don't know where to go. I don't have any house to live. So the cobbler is a very kind-hearted man. He says, I will take you to my house. Please come with me. But remember, my wife would not be happy to carry you. But you'll have to bear with her. Because she doesn't like strangers to be kept in home and like that. So whatever. So that angel, now a normal human being, an ordinary man, goes with that cobbler to the house, to their house. And the moment that woman, the wife, sees who is this new man, and my husband is always doing such stupid things. Already we are suffering. We don't have money and he is bringing all this, such beggars from street. So this angel laughs for the first time. That is the first laughter. The cobbler asks, why are you laughing? The fallen angel says, I will tell you later on. He laughs because an angel is entering the house and the woman is so unhappy. Otherwise, if an angel enters any house, that house becomes full of joy, happiness, wealth, everything will come there. But look at the ignorance of this woman, that she doesn't know who I am. And she is shouting at her husband. So that was the first laughter. Now this fallen angel is employed by this cobbler and he starts doing all his work as a servant. And gradually he learns the art of preparing shoes, footwear. And he becomes so expert in that, that suddenly the shop of that cobbler becomes so famous. And one day, the Tsar, the king of Russia, sends his emissary servants because king wants some footwear to be made. And that servant comes and says, our king has ordered one shoes to be prepared. But remember, prepare shoes, don't prepare slippers. Slippers, prepare shoes. So the cobbler tells his servant, the fallen angel, that you have to prepare shoes in 1 week's time and that should be excellent. Because it is king's order. So after 1 week, the cobbler sees what this man has done, his servant. And he is shocked to see that instead of telling multiple times to prepare shoes, he has prepared slippers. He says, you fool, what have you done? Now any moment the servant of king might come and what I will answer him. So that cobbler, that fallen angel just is calm. And suddenly at that moment, the servant of the king comes. The servant says, the king has died. Now prepare slipper. Now it is a custom in Russia that once the king dies, he cannot wear shoes. He should be given that slippers. So again, the second time, that fallen angel laughs. The cobbler asks, why are you laughing? He says, I'll tell you later on. Now here he was laughing because Life is momentary. Nobody knows what is going to happen next day. The king was not aware that he was about to die within 1 week's time, and still he ordered shoes. So at that point, the angel laughs. The angel says, I will tell you the cause of my laughter after some time. Now, after a few more weeks, a very rich lady comes to their shop to buy shoes with her 3 daughters. And the angel identifies, these are the same 3 babies, those girl children, whose mother had died, and because of which he is suffering from punishment. So he asks that woman, are they your daughters? She says, no, they're 3, I was without any children, and these 3 girls are daughters of my neighbor who had died, and she was a poor lady. Good that she died, otherwise they would have been brought up in poverty. Now they are brought up in so many riches and leading a royal life. Soon they are going to get married in some royal family. And after my death, all my property would go to them. So now the angel laughs for the 3rd time. It was he who decided, who told God that you have made a mistake. You should not have done this. That woman was alone. That what will happen to those children? And you are asking me to take the soul of that woman? So he laughs at himself. And he also reveals this to the cobbler. And after that, that man, fallen angel, is transformed into an angel and goes back. So it was the story of the fall of an angel. The angel fell down because of some disobedience, some revolt. And now, when that angel laughed 3 times, he regained his angelic stage back. It's so easy to laugh at others. But it is when we love, when we learn to laugh at our own follies, our own mistakes, our own imperfections, our own defects, flaws, that time our real journey to become an angel starts. So today we will discuss something about an angel. If not an angel, almost an angel. So our topic is almost an angel. Near about, if not fully, if not 100%, maybe 90% or 95%. And as I said, we will become an angel only when we will learn to laugh at our own mistakes, to mock at our own selves. Oh, my foolish mind, what are you doing? Till now, you were groping in the dark. Still you would like to do the same. Oh, my stupid mind, what is there in the ephemeral and the transitory pleasures of this world? What is so beautiful about the sense enjoyment? Oh, my stupid mind, would you like to continue this unnecessary stupid relations of body consciousness? Would you like to transcend all these limited things and rise above and reach that higher platform of spirituality? How long you will suffer? How long you will grope in the darkness? How long you will commit the same mistakes again and again, again and again, again and again? You know, Baba has given the definition of intense effort. 3 definitions Baba has given at 3 different places. The first definition of intense effort has come in the first Avyakta Murli of this Yajna. That was 21st January 1969. That was the first Avyakta Murli of this institution. Brahma Baba left the body on 18th January, and the first Murli through Dadi Gulzar was 21st January 1969. There's a beautiful statement there. Baba said, till now, you have heard a lot of knowledge. But to remember knowledge during situations, during adverse situations, is the real intense effort. So that is the first definition of intense effort. We know so many things. We have been hearing Murlis and Murlis after from so many years, but to remember those points of knowledge is the intense effort. If you see today's Sakar Murli, Baba said, you must churn Murli a lot. Just take one point and churn it very, very deeply. Just take any point of knowledge and go into depth of it. We don't have to go into the depth of things, but we have to go into the depth of knowledge. That's what Baba says. So, that was the first definition. The second definition of intense effort is, whatever stage you had 1 second before, your stage should be ahead of that now. Baba has talked in terms of second. At least, okay, forget second, one day. What stage I had yesterday, my stage should be at a higher level. Every today should find us ahead of yesterday, and every tomorrow should find us ahead of today. That's the second definition of intense effort. And the third definition of intense effort is not to commit the same mistake again. But that doesn't mean that you will commit new mistakes every day. Mistakes of body consciousness. Blunders of body consciousness. Even at the thought level. Even at the level of imagination. There's one word in Christianity. It's known as thought crimes. Thought crimes. Crimes taking place at the level of thought. Because everything starts in thoughts, and gradually that manifests outside. So these are the three definitions of intense effort: to remember knowledge during situations, during difficult times. Second, our stage should be higher every day. And third, we should not be committing the same mistake again and again. Once a saint was asked, what is spirituality? And you know what definition he had given? Spirituality means and ahead, and ahead, and ahead. Don't stop. If you stop at some time, know that that is just a milestone. That's not the destination. Destination is far off. It's just a milestone. Some experience with Baba, some bodilessness, and some divine vision of light here and light there. People get so happy and they think that we have achieved a lot. It's not like that. This is a lifetime's journey. So spirituality means and ahead, and ahead, and ahead, and ahead. Keep on going ahead, ahead, ahead. Whatever you have achieved in terms of efforts, always feel that there is much more to do. This is not the ultimate thing. Just if somebody stays silent for one whole day without uttering a single word, by evening you will find that your stage has gone up very much because you haven't wasted energy at all. And throughout the day you are practicing some or other drill, trying to get out of this body, trying to remain as much detached from this body as much as possible. So by evening you find that your stage has gone up. But then always remember, the sanskars of body consciousness we are carrying from very long time, 2500 years. So one day's effort is not enough, though it's good, but then you should not get overjoyed and become slack the next day. Continue the same efforts for a very long time. That's why Baba says long standing efforts. It's not a game of one day. It's not the game of 2 days. And ahead, and ahead, and ahead, and ahead. That's what is the definition of spirituality. So the aim of this Brahmin life is to become an angel. How to do that? Who is an angel? What is the biodata of angel? So we will see a few things about this. First, what is the appearance of an angel? How does it look like? Light, I am not talking the pictorial description of an angel. How does an angel look like? Outside he will be an ordinary human being. But the soul would be so light. And there would be smile. There are no lines of heaviness. If you talk with such a person, even for 5-10 minutes, you will feel extremely light. We have seen dadis, many dadis, who got admitted in hospital at various times. How light they used to be. They had so many illnesses, so much suffering, so much pain everywhere. Some of the dadis. Kunja Dadi was one, Palu Dadi was one, Manorindra Dadi was one, Shantamani Dadi. All these dadis we have seen how much detached they were from body. We used to prick them, nothing, as if nothing is happening. Prick here, prick there, prick here, prick there, putting some tube in the nose, nothing, as if they are detached from that body. You know, the test of spirituality happens only during the time of illness. When we are sick, when we are ill, undergoing treatment in the hospital, it's so tough. I remember Dadi Janki, 4-5 years back, she was so bad, continuously bleeding. Her hemoglobin had dropped to 6. And she was in the hospital in Mumbai, and so many tests were done. Every test was repeated twice, but still no doctor could find the cause of her bleeding. They were just transfusing blood, and twice endoscopy, so many things were done. Ultimately, Dadi got fed up, and we decided, okay, we will bring back Dadi. Whatever that has to happen, let that happen in Shantivan, in Baba's home. As if it was the last moment. Now, she's about to go. That sort of thing had happened. So I remembered, we had come to Ahmedabad, taking a discharge against medical advice, because nothing was working. From Ahmedabad, we reached Shantivan. After reaching Shantivan, that car seat was all full of blood. With that condition, we brought her back once. So Dadi was back in Madhuvan, in Shantivan. We transfused her blood, and the next day she started getting better. And after 4-5 days, she was in the Diamond Hall, shouting like a lion, as Om Shanti. She was a miracle lady. So during those times of disease, illness, pain, also, she was so much detached from the body. That is the mark of an angel. You know, once I was in Delhi for some medical conference, and I received a call, please come back fast. Leave that conference, Dadi is not well. I said, okay, I am coming. So conference was for 4 days, so I came back in between. So when I reached Shantivan, where is Dadi? They said, she is giving speech in Diamond Hall. Now she is alright. She was bad all night, and now she has become suddenly alright. That's quite strange. So, appearance. There would be smile, there would be cheerful, there would be no complain. I have seen number of BKs, they become turned into a complaint box once they become sick. Come to Madhuvan and then stay in Madhuvan for 2 days, and then they get loose motion, 10 times loose motion. And then they are horrible. No Baba, no spirituality, nothing, everything on one side. Everything is gone. Only few stay calm, stable, peaceful. So, the destination is far off. So when everything is, we are in a congenial, comfortable, favorable atmosphere, everything goes well. But the real spirituality is seen only during adverse situation, difficult situations, tough situations, during times of illness, sickness, intolerable pain. To what extent we can get detached from the body? You know, if somebody gets cancer and that cancer spreads in bones, how severe pain patient gets. But we have seen some of the senior BKs, how much tolerance power they had. And how calm, how quiet they stay, even in the face of such difficult situations. So the appearance of an angel in all the adverse situations, all the difficult, tough situations of life, they would still be cheerful, still be singing the glories of Rama, Baba, everything. There was one Avyakta Murli where Baba said, if sickness comes to you, if some disease comes to you, start saying, Vah, disease, Vah. Start singing the glory of that illness. Wow, what a pain. Very nice. What a knee pain. Excellent. Baba, this back pain is so good. It's very good. So Baba says, keep on singing the glory of that sickness. And that sickness will become happy and go away nicely. But what we do is, oh this, oh that. You remember last Sunday's Murli? Baba said, if you remember Baba, then you need not to take medicines also. At bed, at night. Otherwise you will say, oh blood pressure, oh pain. So, how fast do we adjust to situations? And there is one important principle here, and that is acceptance. I have seen people don't accept things. Acceptance doesn't mean that I accept defeat. Accepting situation doesn't mean that I'm not going to change the situations. No, acceptance means it's a positive energy within me. I know this has happened to me and I accept it. And now with that power of acceptance, I try to transform things. It doesn't mean that I will sit down and do nothing. That is not acceptance. For example, you came to Cancer Over, okay? You have been allotted one room. After 2 days, the accommodation people comes and says, vacate this and go to another room. Okay, so you go to another room. After 2 days, again somebody says, now you vacate this room also. You go to another room. You go to another room. And there again something happens. So all the joy of meeting God and everything is gone. This is a situation, a practical situation. Your partner is snoring at the top of his lungs. You can't sleep the whole night. You can't accept this. So tough. We are sleeping, somebody comes and ons the light. We don't want light. We are sleeping and somebody goes in the bathroom and opens the tap and water is falling in the bucket and that disturbs our sleep. We are sleeping and somebody comes and hits it our leg. So many such situations come here. How fast we accept things, difficult things, tough things that are happening in life. You know, when in 1910, when Edison, Thomas Alva Edison, all his plant, the research plant was set ablaze, was burning. Years of research was burning in front of his eyes. And his son comes running. Oh, father, what is happening? He says, nothing, call your mother. Such a scene she will never see. And what a statement he makes, you know. All our mistakes are getting burnt up. Somebody would have been there, he would have cried, shouted, oh, do something, do something. Years of hard work was getting burned to ashes. So he accepted. And within 6 months, he re-erected everything. That is acceptance. This experience had come in one book, Reader Digest, in 1953. His son had written this experience. So angel means, the appearance means, appearance is peaceful, calm, undisturbed, smiling, cheerful, no complaints and accepting things. Earlier that was okay, now this is also okay. I have accepted. I remember I had gone to one center in India, Brahma Kumari Center, and there were only two students there. Only two students. And I talked with the teacher, center teacher. I asked her, only two teachers, only two students. She said, yes, it's not that we are not doing service, we do service. But then in this area, people are all non-vegetarian and they know that once you go to Brahma Kumaris, you have to give up that. That's why they don't come. So few other reasons were there. But she said a very beautiful statement which I remember till now. What she said, earlier I was in one center which was a retreat center. It was so busy over there, hectic lives. Now I came here. And when I saw that here students don't become regular. So she said, I have accepted this situation with love. I have accepted this situation with love. And I utilize all my time in studying of spiritual literature, in maintaining my stage, in staying calm. We do service, but she says I spend maximum time in silence. So, appearance. The second thing of an angel is behavior. We will see 26 things. The second is behavior. The behavior naturally would be polite, gentle, not arrogant. You know, Stephen Hawking had made a very beautiful statement. He said, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. But, anybody? No. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. But? Ego. No. What? The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. Illusion of knowledge. Illusion of knowledge. Brahm. I know. This is an illusion. What we know? What we know as knowledge is mere information. We know soul is a point of light, information. We know this is golden age is coming. We know this is our home. We know God has come. This is the Brahma and his body, but God has come. We know this is a subtle world. We know the cycle of 5,000 years. These are the different ages and this is the confluence age. These are the bits and pieces of information. This is not knowledge. Knowledge is something else. Knowledge means understanding. Knowledge means transformation. Knowledge means imbibition of that, those points. Unless and until we become embodiment of it, it cannot be called knowledge. Knowledge is far, far. It's a far cry. Where we have reached is just informations. Pieces of informations we have in hand. Don't confuse information with knowledge. And wisdom is even ahead of that. A child asks his mother, mummy, why your hair have turned grey? The mother takes this as an opportunity to teach him. She says, every time you commit mischief or mistake, my one hair turns grey. So the child says, now I understood why our grandmother has got all the hair grey. So he is saying that that's because of your mischiefs. So we think that we know many things. It's not like that. The thirst for knowledge should be there always. That understanding that what I know is nothing, now I begin. You know what Socrates says? All I know is that I know not anything. That is the beginning of knowledge. Let me learn from everyone, let me learn from a child. He has so many things to teach me. Let me learn from everybody. Let me learn from those illiterate mothers who are working, who are serving in the kitchen. They will teach you so many things. Knowledge means to come to the understanding that I know nothing. Now I begin. Now I start. Now let me understand what is life, what is this knowledge, what is Brahmin life, what is an angel. I have heard about it. It's just an information. That's it. So behavior of an angel means always that curiosity is there, politeness is there, that humility is there, unassuming attitude is there, not that arrogance, not that haughty nature, not that holier than thou attitude. I am purer than you. I am in jnana for longer time than you. I am senior. I am staying in this place, I am staying in center or in, I am a resident of Madhuban. This itself sometimes augments the ego which is within us. If we make this a small I, before coming in jnana we are having small I. The moment we come in jnana after sometimes it becomes capital I. And now the journey is from capital I to small I, in jnana. And then from small I, even that L letter should go away, only point should remain. So you can draw a diagram. Coming, you come to jnana, I don't know anything, let me do course, let me know things. Okay, you begin. Then course is done, then you become senior. Then you know you don't know anything, I'll teach you what is God. I'll teach you what is cycle. Who are you? He says his name. Foolish, you are soul, you are not this body. In conducting course, there is a sort of ego which is getting satisfied within. And when that ego enters, even we don't understand. And that's why, as Stephen Hawking said, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, but illusion. That I know. What I know? Nothing I know. There are so many things to know. There are many things in heaven and hell, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. One of the characters of Shakespeare, Hamlet, says to his junior that there are many things in heaven and hell till now. Horatio is the name of that person. There are many things in heaven and hell than are dreamt of in your philosophy. What we have understood, what we have known is nothing. We have just scratched the surface of spirituality. That's it. So behavior would be polite, humble, inquisitive, curious, inquisitiveness, that quest for knowledge, that insatiable quest for knowledge should be there. That's why an angelic personality would be a voracious reader and an eternal learner, trying to learn from everyone. The third thing about an angel is communication. How does an angel communicate? It is mostly non-verbal communication. Not everything can be conveyed by words. Rather, our silence speaks louder always. How much experience we have of silence in life? My sister was saying, at different periods of my life, suddenly and silence came upon me. Sometimes 6 months, sometimes few weeks, sometimes few days, sometimes months. And in those periods of silence, I feel it's only because of that silence which happened in the past, because of which I am surviving even now. Because what I gained during those periods of silence was so tremendous. Such energy, such unprecedented energy came upon me that even now I am getting sustained by that silence which happened in the past. The silence has a very deep, stupendous power in it. So learn to be silent as much as possible. Do not speak unless and until spoken to. That's a statement of spirituality. As much as possible, when you have no work, just sit down and try and go into the depth of knowledge. Take some murli, read it, churn it, remember it, revise it, recall it, convert it into some spiritual drill. Sit in front of Baba, tell him the complete murli, whatever you have heard or read. So all this process takes place in silence. So try to remain in silence as much as possible. Here, especially when you come for Baba's meet, I have seen those who maintain silence for a very long time, maybe 1 week, they get extraordinary experiences sitting in the Diamond Hall. And those who are busy in chattering, in all sorts of gossips, they do not get deeper experiences. So it's an inner commitment. I'm not telling, silence doesn't mean just to keep mum and not to speak. Silence is something else. Where the mind is less inclined to speak. A person might be speaking and yet silent inside. For example, if I draw a circle here, I am sitting here at the center and this is the circle. On the circle is service, relationships, everything, food, everything is happening outside. But still I am situated here in silence. So sitting here, come here. And the moment the work is done, again withdraw into the silence. So as much as possible, try to stay in silence. Silence means self-talk. Silence means talk with God. Silence means self-checking. Silence means soul-searching. Silence means soul self-analysis. Silence means transformation. The deeper the silence, the deeper would be experience. There was one saint in India. His name was Meher Baba. He remained silent for about 40 years. Every time he would announce his day of breaking silence. But on that day, again he would extend his date. Because he would not feel like to come into voice. So every time he did 3-4 times, he made a public announcement that this time I am coming into this thing now. I am going to speak. But the moment that date came, he again postponed it. Because he used to say, I relish such nectar, such powers, unprecedented energy I gather within inside and I don't feel like to speak at all. So I'm not telling you not to speak, but even while speaking, the speech should emanate from the depth of silence. So communication. Fourth thing about an angel is his dress. What is the dress of an angel? Light, shining of soul consciousness, of self-respect. In today's blessing in morning murli, Baba said, you are the stars of earth. So there was a comparison between stars of the sky and the stars of the earth. So you can take this as a topic and churn it. and spend 1 hour nicely sitting somewhere in silence, looking at the stars, looking at the earth. How nicely Baba has compared us to stars. So this churning of knowledge keeps you light. If you don't churn the knowledge, you gradually come into body consciousness. And that body consciousness is a very, very dirty dress. To remain light means to wear always the dress of self-respect, self-esteem, higher consciousness. Stay higher up. The moment you come down, sorrow starts. I have seen in my own experience, when I stay in a very exalted consciousness for a very long time, I don't feel like to come at all down. Just stay there only, not to speak at all. Okay, when we are slightly down, then I engage in talking. Otherwise, the moment I go up, I feel dislike, entire dislike for talking and everything. Because when in silence, you are very near to self-respect and very near to God. In sound, you are little body conscious, far away from God and far away from self-respect. So, increase your spiritual level. Increase your spiritual level here. We are down, everything. When I go down, everything goes down. When I go up, everything goes up. This is an experience we will find. So, the third, fourth thing about an angel is angelic dress. And in the angelic dress is self-respect. Take any point from Murli, churn it. Revise it, recite it multiple times. Keep on telling yourself, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. I am not that, I am not that, I am not that. Tattvamasi, thou art that. The next thing about an angel is emotions or feelings. An angel would be an emotionally strong person. A person who is emotionally weak cannot survive in this spiritual life. Because here you should have a very strong emotions. If you are a sentimental bomb, an emotional bomb, somebody comes and says to me something wrong, I start crying. You know HSP? HSP, highly sensitive persons. That is a term for HSP. It's a term in psychology. They say that about 20 to 30% people in this world are HSP. They are extremely sensitive. If I tell you, you should have kept your shoes outside. Why you are carrying your shoes inside? You feel upset. Who is he to tell me, first of all? Second, he should not have told in front of everybody. I felt insulted. And now you don't remember, forget this for next 2 days. Every time you see that person, shoes. Every time you see that person, you remember what he had said. It's okay, somebody has said something, take lightly. Why to become heavy with his words? Two things make us heavy, words and behavior of people. Therefore, one should learn to remain light. Even somebody says something, it's fine. Somebody says, "Yo, why you are keeping plate here? Keep plate there." You feel bad, as if insulted. It's okay. Everybody has their own viewpoints. Everybody, we are here to learn from everybody. If somebody says something to me, what is there in that? It's okay with me. I'm fine. Nobody is here to insult me, and why I'm feeling insulted for small things? And all these things are common in yogi life. Yogi is somebody who is beyond all these things. So it's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. One should keep his mood light. You know, last Sunday's Murli, holy. Baba said holy means 7 definitions Baba gave. The 4th definition means holy means to have the light mood, not to become heavy. Keep light for everything. Weather is not very good, okay, it's fine. Suddenly it starts raining, you can't go. It's okay. suddenly too much cold, it's okay. Angel means who is unaffected by five elements. The changes in the elements should not affect an angel. An angel is not something who is sitting there with white wings and white dress. Angel stage is now, here. It's an internal stage. So angel means who is having light in emotions and pure emotions, pure feelings and good wishes for everyone. No matter what one has done to me. No matter what one has done to me. Because everything was planned in the drama. This drama is fixed. Nothing that has happened to me has happened without a purpose. So I accept it with joy, with happiness, with love. It's fine. And those who feel insulted for every small thing, they can't progress in the spiritual life. They get upset and they give up this institution. They feel these people are not good. Those non-BKs are better than these people. And then next is food. Now tell me what should be the food of an angel. Pure food? How should be the food of an angel? Anyone? Yeah? No, I'm asking about gross. Don't talk me about those love and all those. I'm talking about food which we eat every day. I'm not talking about that food. I'm talking of real food. Don't tell me subtle and spiritual and metaphysical and philosophical definitions of food. Tell me gross definition. Very light, natural and fresh and yeah, organic. Okay, that's a new word. Again, what else? Offered to Baba. It should have been offered as a bhog. Okay, what else? Anybody? Yeah? How should be our food? As much as possible, natural. You know? There should be periods of fasting in between. There should be periods of fasting. If you want perfect health, at least every 24 hours, in 24 hours, there should be at least 12 hours to 16 hours of fasting. How? For example, if you take your food in the morning, at night at 8, the next food that should go into the body, maybe should be after 8 or at around 10. Keep on munching all the time, like cow. Always keeping toli here and toli there. Some toli should be in the room, always munching. Sitting and this is going on all the time. Healthy food habits means, first thing is there should be hours of fasting. And I'll tell you something which is, keep it off the record. The first food that should go into the body should be green leafy vegetables or green juices. Because our body has fasted whole night, it has not done any work that you need such a huge breakfast. Breakfast means breaking the fast. That should be the first food that is entering the body after breaking the fast should be as light as possible. As light as possible, as much raw, as much uncooked as possible. All the diseases of humanity have happened because of overcooking. Cook the food and it loses all enzymes. Cook the food, it loses all vitamins, all proteins are decoagulated. Sugars are decaramelized. So go for as much healthy food as possible. The more healthier the food, the lighter would be the body, the mind. You will have that energy within you, the stamina, the energy, the vivacity, the animation. You eat huge. The more you eat, the more body needs to digest. More energy is needed. Yogi's food will be as less as possible, as light as possible, as natural as possible. Go towards nature, you become healthy. Go away from nature, you become diseased. And when you are sick, you can't remember Baba. Very difficult. Body pulls like anything. So go for as much natural as possible. Second thing about food, overeating. Overeating. When we overeat, we feel half of our stomachs and half the stomach of doctors. We are so merciful. And we begin the doctor shopping. In the path of devotion, we had guru shopping. After becoming BK, we do doctor shopping. Every time falling sick. Sometimes this, sometimes that, sometimes this, sometimes. Or because of wrong food habits. So go green. Go raw. Go natural. The more the natural foods in the body, the more would be the energy level. The third thing about diet is avoid hungerless eating. There's no hunger, but as a routine I have to eat, so I am eating. No animals in this huge world, animal kingdom, a goat, a cow, they don't eat unless and until they are hungry. But we keep on eating. 3 times full diet and 4 times totally. Is that the food? Is that the mark of an angel? Angel is somebody who is light, so his food has to be light. As light as possible. In the golden age, there are no oils and there are no sugars there. No salt there. Once you learn to eat diet without salt, you will find that you don't need salt at all. Everything is already there in natural for diet. It's all the slavery of the tongue. Once you go beyond the slavery of the tongue, you know this was a prison where I was incarcerated. Now I am out of it. Then wrong type of food. Too much chili, too much salty, too much oily. These are not the diet of a yogi. And then eating with complaints, eating with displeasure, eating with unhappiness. Oh, the same diet again. This was yesterday in morning and today again it is. I am not hungry. I was hungry. The moment I go to dining, I see the same food. Now hunger has gone. Now somebody brings some special dish. Oh, now I am hungry again. Bring. Or you see in somebody's plate something new. Where from you got this? This was not in the general. It was something special. So this is not the mark of a self-sovereignty, first of all. Uncontrolled food habits. They never make you self-sovereign. You never come to the self-mastery. Control the tongue and you control the whole body. And next is gait. Chal. The gait of an angel. How does an angel walk? Rushing. Running. Angel means slowly. My Bapa used to say that when Mama walks, Earth loves it. When Mama used to walk with grace, with dignity, with royalty, not rushing, not hurrying, not jumping, not hopping, with grace, slowly, that should be the gait of an angel. The next is habits and hobbies of an angel. Habits and hobbies of an angel. Tell me a few hobbies of an angel. Yes? What hobby should an angel inculcate? To be in yoga. Yeah, that's one of the best habits. Today's Murli Baba said, you have to show the way to others and make them manmana bhav. That is your duty. Baba is teacher, so Baba makes you into teacher. You do not become guru, you become teacher. You become teacher, you don't become gurus. So you become teacher. So hobby, service should be the hobby. There should be burning passion within the heart. I want to serve Baba. I want to spend all my life only in service, service, service and service, nothing else. That new habit of service. Other habits are reading. Reading is such a beautiful habit. When you read, those BKs who spend their time in reading, they don't have more waste thoughts. Most of the BKs have left the reading business. They have left the reading business. They no more read any book, no literature, nothing. They are busy only in yoga or in service. That's it. But when difficult situations comes, they start quivering, shivering. So reading is such a beautiful habit. Every day, how much pages, how many pages you should read? Not tell this. Oh, 50. Who is that? That's good target. Every at least maybe 20, 25, or go up to 50. New things to read. Read something new every day. There are so many books here in the literature. Go and take in that global office. There are so many good books. Have you read the book on Dadi Janki? A Century of Service. How many of you have read? Just raise the hands. A Century of Service. Book on Dadi Janki. No one? It's such a beautiful book. You must go and read books. Whenever you have time in room, what are you doing otherwise? What are you doing in rooms? Sleeping? Sleeping is another hobby of some of the BKs. Who sleeps after Amrit Vela? Just raise the hand. After Amrit Vela. Amrit Vela finished says 4:45 a.m. And after that going to sleep. How many of you? 1, 2, 3. Rest, everybody stay awake. That's good. Indians have very bad habit. Once they finish Amrit Vela, they go to sleep. And then they get up at 8, 6:30 to go to Murli. That's the period for churning. That's the period for exercise. That's a period for walking. That's a period of silence. That's a period for reading. So increase your reading habit, your reading habits. More and more reading. Every day something new. Every day something new. Otherwise, how can you get in touch with? We are not going to meet every dadi, but we get to know about them through books. So books are our never failing friends. So take this habit of reading from this visit to Madhuban. I myself, my... Which chart?
Where would you place
the chart? At night. This I am talking whole day. You have so much time. Now everything is, all books are available online. So whenever you have time, you just sit and read. People ask me, when do you read? I tell them, in between two patients, when I have time. One patient has come and gone. Another is yet to enter. That time I read. Otherwise I don't have time. I'm 24 hours on call. All the time emergencies. Whole night sometimes emergencies. So you have to steal time. Time is not going to, you are not going to, nobody is without work here. Everybody is working. So you have to take out time. Because that enlightens you. There's a very beautiful book here, Inner Beauty. How many of you have read Inner Beauty? It's so beautiful language. So beautiful English. Every chapter is a dish of sweets. Such a beautiful book. So there are many books like this. So some of the books are our lifelong companion. You read them every day. Just read one line, one page on calmness. You feel so good. One line on discipline. One page on some other topic. Any virtue. So they help. So reading is another habit. Then the next thing about an angel is journey. Where does an angel go? So we should make that inside internal journey whole day to subtle world and coming down to this world. Then again going to the soul world and coming down to this world. So this spiritual drill should go on throughout the day. It's not that every morning we did Amrit Vela and then gone. Everything finished. Throughout the day, keep yourself busy in some or other spiritual drill. Because drill makes your muscle, physical drill makes your, otherwise if muscles become flabby. If you want to remain fit, you should keep on doing drill, physical drill, physical exercise. If you want to remain physically, spiritually healthy, you should be doing the drill of going out and coming into this body. You know, each one of us has our completed and perfected form in the subtle world. Baba has said in Murli's, each one of you has a separate perfect form in the subtle world and I have to go every day and see that form and come back. There's one sister, Sister Kailash, very senior sister of Yajna. During the times of initial days of Yajna, Once she went into trance and saw something light in subtle world and came back. She informed Brahma Baba, I saw something light. Baba said, go back again. So she went again and she saw there was another Brahma sitting there in the subtle world. She came down and informed Baba, I saw Brahma. But he was much beautiful than you. You are ugly. You are not that beautiful. So Baba kept on asking her multiple times, now go and see, now go and see, now go and see. And towards the end of his life, that sister came and saw. She said, now that and you, they look similar. So our perfect form is already present in the subtle world. So always go there, see, say hi, hello, how are you? Are you all right? I am coming to yours, you don't worry. See that form is coming and getting merged in me. And I am becoming an angel. Now come down, descend into this world and behave as if you are an angel. That work should be done. That keeps you away from this dust. That keeps you away from this soil. Otherwise this body, this soil, this dust, this dirt, this murk always stains, contaminates you. So it's the best method to stay away from body consciousness. Go out from the body, come down into body. Go out from the body, come down into body. You are going to Pandavan from here. Do practice the spiritual drill. You are going to hospital, sitting there waiting for the doctor to come, practice spiritual drill. You are going for blood test, practice spiritual drill. You are going for food, you have time, practice spiritual drill. Body has, soul has gone down and come down. It has gone down, it has again come down. So multiple times spiritual drills to be practiced. And then angel has a key role, a key responsibility in God's revelation. So what are my responsibilities? I should always be busy thinking about these responsibilities. My responsibility doesn't stops at one family, one husband, one wife, one daughter, one child. That's an ordinary life. I have some higher responsibilities for the whole world. I am a world transformer, world benefactor. I cannot remain restricted to just one family. So I have to plan my day, what I am doing, how I am contributing to the whole world. So what is my overall contribution to the world in the form of my vibes, my thoughts, my pure feelings, my fantasies, my desires, my work, everything. So plan world service, mansa service, service through the mind. And then language. As we said in communication, again the language, our language, our basic language should be silence. Use silence as a language. Try to communicate in silence. This is a very enjoyable journey. Because the greatest truths of spirituality cannot be conveyed in words. Words fail. Words have limitation. Somebody who has more words would be able to convey more. Somebody who doesn't have words would convey less. Somebody knows more languages, he will convey less or more, whatever. But in spiritual life, it's the silence which is the language. Love which is the language that takes you beyond. So learn this new language. And the next about an angel is Murli churning. It's a very important part of our daily life. Unless and until Murli churning becomes an habit, happiness cannot remain eternal. There would be fluctuations in the level of happiness. Listening Murli is one thing, but reading it is another, and that's very important. And from Murli, take out few important points. You know, there is one brother in Madhuban, he takes out about 20 different topics from every day's Murli. Every day's Murli, he takes out 20 different topics, 20-25. So rather than just reading Murli, you should have certain topics for churning. This is the topic. Now let me think about it. I am standing at the bus waiting for the bus. What I am doing? What sort of thoughts are coming within me? Are they Gyan related? No, most of the thoughts are waste. You know, there is a statistics, a very good statistics about worry. They say that 40% worry is imaginary. We are worried about things which are 40% imaginary. They are never going to happen. 30% worry is about the past, which we can't do anything now. About the wrong decisions taken in the past. That is 30%. 12% worry is because of their other criticism from other people, which is also untrue, not the true criticism. 10% worry is because of the health issues. Only 8% worry is the real worry, or we should worry. And in fact, the way to get rid of them is again not worry. Otherwise, worry will increase. So that is the statistics. 40%, 30%, 12%, 10% and 8%. And if you see, well, there are only few things to be worried about. And in fact, even to tackle them, you need not to worry. That's another thing. So half of the thoughts are waste and negative. You have to replace these thoughts by some spiritual thoughts. You should have some topics within you, your heart to churn about it. For example, take this topic only, an angel, that's it. Next 3 days, keep on thinking about angel. How an angel should look like, what is it, what is it, what is it, what is it. And when you go in front of Baba and sit in Diamond Hall, sit with that feeling that I am an angel. The experience would be entirely different. Because you have been thinking about angel from last 3 days. From every Murli, think as if these are the qualities, qualifications of an angel. And I should have them. And the next, occupation. What should be the occupation of an angel? World transformation. That's the only occupation of an angel. That's it. I am here for this one task. World benefaction, world transformation. To what extent I am contributing to this? And we contribute even with our thoughts. If we go down in body consciousness, we are not contributing. Only when we keep our mind at a very higher spiritual platform, we are contributing to this world. Otherwise, we aren't. The next is powers. What are the powers of an angel? Very subtle spiritual powers. And the greatest power is the power of purity. The power of celibacy, the power of chastity. Once the celibacy, purity, chastity is broken, nothing remains. We become beggars in this spiritual life. Spiritual beggars. Because our greatest power is the power of purity. I see everybody only as souls. They are not males and females, and this is beautiful and she is not beautiful, and he is handsome and he is not handsome. This vision deteriorates the spiritual level. The graph of spirituality should go up and up. So maximum practice soul conscious vision. That whenever you see somebody, naturally eyes should not see body. They should see only soul. The soul twinkling star sparkling here. And one more thing, I will come back to food. The lighter the food, the greater would be soul consciousness and greater would be the soul conscious vision. The grosser the food, the more would be body conscious, and then there would be body conscious vision. You will be attracted to somebody's body. She is good, he is good. He is good looking, he is not good looking. This attraction happens at a very subtle level because of food. Whatever we eat, not allopathy but Ayurveda says that is divided in 3 parts. The grossest part becomes the stool and urine. The middle part becomes body, and the third part of the food goes and straight away becomes the mind. So whatever you eat, you become that. Then as natural it is, you stay in a very light mood, light stage. Otherwise it goes down. All deterioration starts. So that's certain thing to be noted, understood and followed. 2 things were responsible for fall of man from Copper Age. What are they? How did deities fell down? Deities fell down from Copper Age. How? One was body consciousness. And second was? Cooking. Second was? Cooking. Date is never cooked. They ate what is natural. All cooking business started from copper age and the fall started. All the body consciousness started, all the vices started entering. So, then qualifications. What qualifications are needed to become an angel? That you can take as an homework and churn on it. How should I, if I want to become an angel, what things are needed? And then, residence. Where does angel stay? In this world? No. In the subtle world. Try to stay as much as possible in subtle world. Feel as if this world is not my world. Or feel as if this itself is a subtle world. Other is relationships. How should be an angel related to others? Detached. How he should be related? There should be psychological distancing. Psychologists have used this word. For example, husband and wife staying together. There should be psychological distancing between them. If it is not there, they become too much familiar, come too close to each other, and then they start fighting. There will be love-hate relationship. Sometimes loving too much, sometimes hating too much. Sometimes they will be boxing each other, sometimes hugging each other. That all things started. Familiarity breeds contempt, hatred. So maintain a very detached relationship with everybody, whosoever he may be, he, she may be. Lot of distance. Loving relationships, that's good. But detachment. So, suppose you have gone to some place and stayed there for 10 days. Okay? They are very loving people. You love them so much. You come back. And you keep on calling them, how are you, how are you, every day. The attachment is created. It's okay, they were good people. But my work is done. Bye. Om Shanti. See you now, after 5,000 years. Stay as much detached as possible. We get attached to everything. We stay in the room for 10 days, we get attached to that room also. If I start using this pillow for 5 days, and the 6th day I don't find it, I am restless, where is my pillow? Because I got attached to this pillow. Our mind has a tendency to get attached to everything. Very subtle checking is needed. Things are there today, things would not be there tomorrow, it's fine for me. Today this room, tomorrow another room. Today I have fan in my room, tomorrow I don't have. Today all comforts and conveniences, today, tomorrow nothing. It's fine. I have to prepare my mind. Spirituality means entering into the university of hard knocks. You get kicks and then graduation degree here after passing through this university. It's not the bed of roses. It's a path of thorns. In the bracket, easy Rajoga. That's in bracket, okay? Always remember. It's a path of fire, bracket, easy Rajoga. Path of thorns, easy Rajoga. We will have yoga for some time. I think I will leave this in between. And we will try to experience who is an angel. Okay? But it's better to become point than just to narrate points. Om Shanti.